Let's bow in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us in Christ Jesus. We thank you for this day to celebrate motherhood, for your wisdom in creating the family and structuring it the way you have. And now as we open your scripture today, we ask your blessings on us as we hear from you. We pray that you would be our teacher, that our hearts would be prepared and ready, and our minds would be quick, and that we would learn from you today through your word. We commit this time to you in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Several years ago, I supplemented our family income by cleaning windows. I had a bunch of commercial accounts, and I would go every week or every other week or once a month, whatever I had agreed with them to do, and I would show up in their place of work and clean their windows. And I had noticed after a few weeks the strangest phenomenon. It seemed that any time I had been to a customer's place three or four or five times, I suddenly would just become invisible to them. And if there weren't any customers in the store, I heard all sorts of conversations that I would have thought people would have kept private. I learned which waiters were pretending for the customers and which ones were actually nice people, even when the customers weren't around. And so one day, I was cleaning the windows in a Hallmark store. There were no customers in there. There were two employees, and they were cleaning up the decorations from one holiday and putting up the decorations for the next holiday. And the manager was complaining about having to do that over and over and over. And I was just washing the windows and hearing all of this. And finally, it got so bad, I turned around and said to the manager, "Your company made up most of these holidays." And then I went, "Oops, maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud." But she looked right at me and said, "I know, and it drives me crazy." Well, today is not one of those Hallmark holidays. Now, somebody did have to pick the second Sunday in May and decide that that's the day we're going to honor mothers in a unique way. But the mandate to honor your mother did not come from any human being. With that idea came from God himself. In fact, God has a great deal to say about how we should treat our mothers. And today we're going to look at some of that instruction in the book of Proverbs. Now this year, we're denied many of our traditional ways of celebrating motherhood. My own mom is in lockdown in an assisted living home. I can't go see her. So I can call, we can talk, but we can't go by, we can't take any gifts, we just can't. And everybody is disrupted in that way, or in some way, but I would just say to you that what God has to say about honoring our mothers still applies, and this passage in Proverbs we're going to look at will help us know how to function, how to honor our moms, even in this odd time in which we're living right now. We're going to be looking at chapter 23 of Proverbs, verses 22 through 25. Scripture says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth, and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you." Now, the book of Proverbs is a collection of statements presented to make simple people wise and to make wise people even wiser. That's the stated purpose of the book. And for those who are willing to hear what this book says, it gives godly wisdom for the entire spectrum of life. How a person relates to his mother plays a significant role in this life of wisdom that the book of Proverbs is calling us all to. And in this portion of the book, we're reminded that we have a God-given responsibility regarding how we relate to our mothers. It's important to understand that the statements given in the text that we just read are not merely someone's opinion. You know, people are pretty quick to offer their opinions. Sometimes they tell you what you think, whether you want to hear that or not, what they think. People, sometimes as they age, get really prone to announce their opinion. This is what you're doing wrong. This is what young people need to change. This is something very different from that. This is not unsolicited advice that might even be unwelcome. This is not even in the category of good advice that is welcome. This is not an appeal to common decency or just be a nice person. And if you're going to be a nice person, you need to love apple pie and love your mother. This is not any of that. This is honor and respect for your mother as an obligation before God. The material in our text for today regarding how to treat father and mother comes down from our Creator and obligates us before Him. We're to treat our parents in a certain way. And if we will not do that, then it means that we have a problem with the God who created the family, in addition to having a problem with father or mother. And the most obvious and well-known passage of Scripture regarding our obligations before God relative to our parents is Exodus 20 and verse 12. That commandment says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." That's the fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments involve how we relate to God Himself, and the next six relate to how we interact with other people. So before you shall not murder, before you shall not commit adultery, before any other human relationship is mentioned in those Ten Commandments, it says, honor your father and your mother. Now, this command is repeated or quoted in Deuteronomy, twice in Matthew, twice in Mark, once in Luke, and once more in Ephesians. That's seven times that it shows up in the Scripture. And it's not necessary that it be repeated for us to be obligated to obey it. Seven appearances doesn't make it more of a duty to obey before God. This repetition, though, does serve to point up how easy it is for us to neglect this command and how important it is that we get this right. How we treat father and mother is a strong indication of our walk with God. It's one of the biggest indicators of whether or not we're right with God. His command regarding our parents is abundantly clear. We are to honor them. Now, opinions do vary on what that's going to look like in certain situations. How do you honor your father and your mother? Some people have parents who are ungodly. Some people have parents who have some really quirky little ideas that make life hard for the children. So how do you honor your parents if there is some kind of pressure like that on the relationship? It may be hard to answer. It makes it more challenging. But our text for today helps us to know where to put our focus, how to honor father and mother. Verse 22 again says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Now, this verse gives us the first indication of how we can honor our father and our mother. Listen. Listen to them. The faithful child is to listen, to attend to the words coming out of the parents' mouths, to pay attention, to assimilate what's being said, to put it into practice. Now, you do have to measure anything anybody is saying against the Scripture. But the problem of people not listening to their parents is usually not a matter of children being told to do something sinful by their parents. It's usually a matter of listening to that part about cleaning up your room, or listening to that part about interacting with a better attitude. Listen to your father, and do not despise your mother when she is old. As time goes by, do not begin to deride your mother in your mind. Do not scorn her there in your mind or with your mouth. As she ages and you age, the relationship is going to change. And as children begin to make adult decisions regarding their own lives, they sometimes develop some resentment toward their parents, thinking, you know, I would have done this differently. And it's often directed at mom. Mom should never have done that. Mom should never have been like this. I can't believe she even thought that. And as the infirmities of old age change your mother, and maybe they amplify some of the things about her personality that you don't like as much, don't despise her. Now, verse 22 gives helpful instruction, and instruction that is rejected all too often. But verse 22 is a preamble to the main point in this passage regarding how we're to honor father and mother. Here's the central idea of this part of the scripture. It's in verse 23, and it says, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. So in the context of how a person relates to father and mother, in a passage that is telling us how to be a blessing to father and mother, the truth is made central. We're told, buy truth and do not sell it. It's a very strong statement about the priority of the truth in each and every life. Do whatever you have to do to attain the truth. Pay any price that is necessary. Spend all that you have, if that's what it takes. Get the truth. The most important thing you can attain in life is an understanding of the truth. Get the truth, whatever it takes. And when you have it, never part with it for any reason. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Now, in normal buying and selling, there are a lot of things that we purchase with no intention of keeping them forever. We have depreciating assets, and they wear out, and we throw them away, or we sell them to somebody who's willing to have a worn-out one. When it costs more to fix your old car than it would cost to buy a better old car, then it's time to get rid of the car. There are also assets that are a means to an end. We buy securities, hoping to see them go up and get a profit. And so we hold them for a while, and then we sell them, hopefully for that profit. There are also assets that serve a temporary purpose. And they're sold eventually because your needs have changed. You know, we used to be in the pop-up camper phase of life, and it was a fun phase, and we had a great time. But then things changed, and we weren't using that thing anymore, so we sold it. The truth that we're being told in this passage is not like the truth we're to buy in this passage is not like any of those things. The truth never loses value. There's nothing more profitable for which it could ever be traded. There can never be a time when you no longer need it. It does not depreciate. It does not fade away. You can't use it up. And so do whatever you have to do to acquire the truth and never let it go. In this package that is referred to as the truth in this passage, there are many components. And three of them are referenced in this verse. Verse 23 says, get wisdom. Now, wisdom is the ability to know what to do in living your life. It comes from having an understanding of the scripture, and so you know what to do. Wisdom is the ability to make good decisions in life. And it's part of this package that we get if we get the truth. Get wisdom. And it says, get instruction. Now, we normally think of instruction from the giving end. Instruct is a verb. Teach is a verb. It's what you do. But for the instruction to actually take place, there has to be somebody on the receiving end. And so this admonition is for each one of us to be on the receiving end of instruction so that we can grasp what is being taught and possess it for ourselves. It's another component part of the truth, and it requires us to be teachable. For a person to receive instruction, he must have the ability and the willingness to learn. Now, no mere human being has ever reached the state in life where there was no longer anything to learn. Everybody needs to receive instruction. And yet every one of us knows that there are many people in this world who will not be instructed. You deal with them all the time. You can't tell them anything. They don't want to listen. There are people in this world who do not have wisdom and who absolutely refuse to receive wisdom when it is offered. It's possible to live a lifetime being unwilling to receive instruction. It's possible to be suffering perpetually, but by the things you don't know and won't listen to and still live your life that way. And that pattern often begins with an unwillingness to listen to father and mother in the home. Since fathers and mothers are far less than perfect, some of them very far less than perfect, it can be very easy for a child to excuse an unwillingness to listen. You see all of their flaws. You think you know everything that's wrong with their perspective, and you naturally like your perspective a lot. So pretty soon you develop this strong habit of not listening, just not even considering what someone tells you. Your confidence in your own counsel is always more appealing, and that can hinder you greatly in life. Now, this admonition to get instruction appears in the context of how to relate to your parents. This is where the patterns of thinking begin. If you will not listen to mom and dad, you could be setting yourself up for a lifelong pattern of foolishness. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." To receive instruction, you have to realize that you don't already know everything. It means that you have some things you're going to have to change. You're being instructed because you didn't know that or you weren't doing that right. But fools despise being instructed because they don't want to change. They tell themselves they know better. They tell themselves that the person talking knows nothing. And they usually begin thinking that way with father and mother. Proverbs 10:1 says, "The wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother." Proverbs 15:20, worded almost the same way, says, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother." The connection in our text for today between truth and wisdom and instruction and how a person relates to his mother is no accident. Receiving instruction is part of the package of receiving truth. It will save you great anguish. And it's easy to see how it's a delight to a mother when this love of the truth is present. And it's a serious hardship to the mother when the love of the truth is absent in one of her children's lives. So get wisdom, get instruction. And it says get understanding. Now, understanding is the ability to put it all together in our minds rather than reacting all the time and feeling like a ball being kicked this way and that way. A person with understanding recognizes how life fits together, has some sense of what to do, recognizes the things that are happening to him and understands how to react, how to plan. All of this is part of the package of buying the truth. Get the truth and you get all of these components. And if you are so blessed as to have all of that, do not ever let it go. Don't sell it. Don't step away from it in order to pursue something else. Now, the Bible is very clear on how you can get the truth. It's not by trying harder. It's not by learning from your mistakes. It's not by being lucky. It's not by being smarter than those other people. You don't get the truth just because you grew up in a family where the parents had the truth. It's not transmitted that way. You don't get the truth just from hanging around on Sundays with other people who actually have the truth. The truth being referenced in this text comes only through one person. In John 14:6, Jesus identified himself as that person. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So Jesus has declared himself to be the truth. He is the embodiment of the truth. He is the only way anyone can get the truth. He's the only person from whom you can attain wisdom and understanding and instruction. He's the only way that you can get to God. Jesus is the personal incarnation of all of these things that we must buy and never sell. And only in Jesus can a person have these blessings. Only in submitting to Jesus Christ can one ever have wisdom. Only when we have forsaken every other hope of heaven and put our trust in Jesus alone for our salvation can we ever have a right relationship with the truth. Now, the prophet Isaiah, 7 centuries before Christ, was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, and he wrote these words in Isaiah 55:1-3. Scripture says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David." The way you can buy the truth is to run to Jesus, Cry out to him for forgiveness of your sins and receive from him everything you need without money, without cost. You can attain these things in Jesus Christ. This is what it means to buy the truth and never sell it. You must be reconciled with your Creator through Jesus Christ. Now, further down in that same passage in Isaiah, the call to come to the Lord continues. It says in verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah 55, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon." This is the very best way a person can honor father and mother. There is no honor without the truth. The truth comes through Jesus Christ and only through him. Now, some of you have parents who are unbelievers, and that gives you some particular challenges in this life. Some of you have parents who are unbelievers and who are pretty active in fighting against what you believe and trying to manipulate you into a denial of your faith. Well, even if your parents are not of the truth themselves, you're living a life in Christ that is centered on the truth in him is the very best way that you can honor your parents. Even if they're fighting openly against your faith, if your faith offends them, the truth is still their best hope. The truth is still the very best testimony that you can give to your parents. You don't know what God may be doing through your living your faith before them. Even if your parents resent it, you don't know that he's not working effectively through you. Many people fight hardest right before they break. God has mercy on them, and they change. So you don't know what God is doing, so you just live the truth before even ungodly parents. Let them see in you an example of godly love for the truth. Honor them by speaking the truth in love. Bless them by graciously pointing to the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And how great will be the blessings for parents who are of the truth when they see you walking in such a way. There's no greater joy for a parent. And how great are your blessings when you'll spend your life walking in the truth. Now, this passage emphasizes those blessings. Verses 24 and 25 say, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you." There are objective blessings that come to those around a person who embraces the truth. And those closest to us benefit the most when we embrace the truth. And that is emphasized in verse 24. It's obvious. Why wouldn't a parent rejoice in having wise children? I mean, you invest so much in your children. The adjustments and the sacrifices start during the pregnancy, and they're pretty dramatic. And then comes the first 6 weeks of extreme sleep deprivation. And then you just pour yourself into these people for a couple of decades. And there is nothing like the joy that comes when you see that investment pay off in dividends because your children are demonstrating some wisdom. It's easy to understand that those blessings are very real. But these verses also emphasize our responsibility in bringing those blessings about. It's our decisions that help bring those blessings. It's our decisions that can fence us off and our parents off from those blessings. It's our attitude. It's our willingness to receive instruction, our desire to acquire the truth. These are the things that God uses to generate these blessings in the lives of our parents. So don't hinder that. Verse 25 says, "Let your father and your mother be glad. Let her rejoice who gave birth to you." Now, sadly, many children just will not let her rejoice. I know that some of you mothers are struggling right now with children who are determined to be foolish. It's very hard for a mother to have a son or a daughter who is making foolish decisions and who is refusing to hear anything from God's word. Proverbs 10:1 again says, a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. It is grief. It is as real as mourning someone who has died. It is painful and heartbreaking. Foolish children produce deep sorrow and anguish for their parents, and many are those who have felt that pain. So on this Mother's Day, that may be something less than a perfect blessing for some of you moms, I would just say to you that the central idea of this passage also holds your best hope as you're dealing with a child who's being foolish. They're grown up now on the outside, and they're making their own decisions, and their decisions are breaking your heart. But you remember the words of this text, buy truth and do not sell it. You hang on to the truth. This is your best hope that these dark days are going to come to an end, and that at the end of them, you'll be blessed. You'll be rejoicing. You'll be seeing your children living godly lives. Many have gone through this grief that you're feeling and have come out on the other side having godly offspring and a blessed relationship. And hanging on to the truth is your best hope that your outcome will be that way. Now, not everybody does this. I have seen a family. I've seen a father and a mother follow their sinning children into heresy, leave a godly church and go to a heretical church in order to keep their relationship with their children. They lost. They gave up. They gave up on everything in order to have a superficial relationship with an ungodly child rather than to stand for the truth and trust God to bring the end that they want. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Hanging on to the truth is the best hope for the outcome that you want. Get wisdom. Get instruction. Get understanding. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Keep on speaking the truth in love. Keep on trusting the Lord Jesus to take care of your child. He can work in those hearts. And for those of us who still have living parents, today is something of an odd Mother's Day. But this passage gives us an important reminder that it is our God-given duty to honor our mothers, to find a way, to make sure they know that we love the truth, that we love them, and that we're honoring them. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for the institution of marriage, of motherhood and fatherhood. We thank you for this day where we can focus on this wonderful thing that you have given us and honor our mothers. We pray that your word would do its work in each of our lives, that it would be applied to our hearts by you to encourage us, to strengthen us, to rebuke us, to deal with us according to our need. And we pray that you would be glorified in our response to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.